Psalm 136 and verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Now get this. For his mercy endureth forever. So those, I think it's six words in our language. We might just count it a little differently, but I think in this version of the Bible, I believe it is six words. For his mercy endureth forever. Now you can go down through this chapter, this psalm, and there are 26 verses, and it says those same words in all 26 verses. For his mercy endureth forever. Verse 23 says, Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, one other expression just for from the book of Isaiah, just for a verse of reference, not our verse to speak about tonight, in Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah 33 and verse 14. He's been talking about hearing those that are far off, that they would hear what I've done, and that you that are near, that you might acknowledge my might. So the idea of bowing. Verse 14, Isaiah 33, verse 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Now look at this. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? So we have read of two things that are forever. For his mercy endureth forever. If I were to ask you what is the most commonly repeated phrase or sentence in the Bible, I wonder if you would know. It's not a children's meeting, so I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But this is it. This is the phrase, the sentence that is most often repeated in all of the Bible. For his mercy endureth forever. It's found over 40 times in our Bible. It's found in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and it's found in the book of Ezra. It's found in different ones of the books of the Psalms. It's found in Jeremiah, where he has written. This most commonly repeated thing coming from the lips of others as they contemplate God, something that God has packed into his Bible. We've been hearing about accounting and about the accounting of our sins, but it almost seems that there's a little accounting in a positive sense that's going on. And over and over and over again, where people are praising God, they're praising God because of what they have found out about him. They are praising God because he is good, because he is great. You can go down through this psalm that we have read, Psalm 132, and you'll find that. Three things about three different names of God are used in the first three verses or so. And then it goes on to different times as the people of God were in their exodus and how they continually are praising God because his mercy endured forever. And then you come to the end of it, and it's just God is so kind. He remembers people in our low estate, and he remembers his people. But then it even goes out and it says, all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, if you see something that's mentioned in 41 or 42 different times. And another time, the word is just a little bit different, that His mercy is everlasting. You have to ask yourself, why? Why is it in our Bible so much? For His mercy endureth forever. Well, I think there's one pretty obvious need. One very encouraging need that is just to think about on the very surface tonight. If it says over and over again, over 40 times, that His mercy endureth forever, it seems to me that there's one thought among many others that are being underlined. There is a God who is great and a God who is good. And there are us. And we need His mercy. That's the very simplest thought I can draw from it. He is merciful. There is something within His character that shows kindness. And it goes beyond just that which is normal and that which is human. And in the face of a world where mercy is needed, He continually and constantly and eternally shows mercy. Tells you about who He is, doesn't it? Tells you something about the God that we are preaching. The same God who does not err in His accounting when it comes to our sins and our debt that we've been hearing about. At the same time, the other side of it is absolutely clear. The God who is right and righteous is the God who is good and kind and loving. I love this verse that is to my right. For God so loved the world. You know what that's saying? His mercy endureth forever. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I just want to think about these ones. Just break it down and slow it down. I'm not very good at slowing down. But just to slow this down and break it into phrases and think about this. His mercy. His mercy. It's not just mercy. It's His mercy. It's not just love, for God so loved the world. It's God's love. So think about that tonight. The one that is showing the mercy. It's His mercy. That's a tremendous thing. I want to think, first of all, when it comes to His mercy, a definition of His mercy. And of course, here it's oftentimes we think mercy is more the idea of a God who holds back the wrath that we deserve. And that's a wonderful thing. When God holds back what we deserve. I guess Daryl has never had the privilege, but Michael certainly has, of traveling through northern Quebec from Goose Bay out through to Godbout, where the ferry goes across and so on. And there's a huge hydroelectric dam that's there. And it's a kilometer wide. And I think is it 300 and some meters, feet high? I can't quite remember. It's just a tractor trailer, when you're looking at it, just looks like that big compared to the massive cement structure that is there. And I've often thought, as we were driving by that, coming out from the snowmobile work in the north with calendars, is wending our way down through it. If that ever let go, the force would be something you couldn't even begin to imagine. They say all life for miles downstream would just be swept away in a matter of seconds. In minutes, nothing would be alive downstream. And as I have driven down through that and around that and looked back at that structure, I cannot help but think of the mercy of God that holds back all of His wrath. With perfect accounting, all of our sins that are kept account of, and a God who is absolutely righteous looks at our sins and yet holds back the wrath. That's mercy as we know it, technically speaking. But this word is a little bit different. Some Bibles may say His steadfast love, or some may say His love knows no end, or some may say His enduring love has no end. It's the idea of compassion, of loving kindness, of mercy all combined. A God who is so kind and so good. A God who, it doesn't lessen the fact of his accounting when it comes to our sins. Yet he holds back the wrath, and in the face of who we are and all of our sin, he overcomes that. He overcomes our debt. And he shows us loving kindness. He shows us things that are positive. You see, that's why Calvary came. There is not one of us that could ever look at the cross and say, he did that because there was something good in me. God has never showed his kindness because of something good to you and I. But I will show you, I want you to think about this. Every single one of us can look at the cross. And we'd say, he did that for me. He did that out of loving kindness because his grace, his kindness, his loving kindness overspilled its boundaries. And God was so kind and loving, it overflowed. And in the face of our debt and our sin, the kindness and grace of God flowed out to sinful humanity so that the most commonly repeated thought in all of our Bible is this: his mercy endureth forever. I think that's a tremendous thing. His mercy, the definition of it, is loving kindness. His steadfast love, it endures forever. But when it comes to his mercy, it's not just a definition of it, but it's deity's mercy. It's the mercy of God. The loving kindness of God, our Savior, toward man, appeared. Paul says to Titus, it appeared. It's like a sun that comes up on the horizon. I mean, a morning like today, there's just something about it. When the sun comes up and it's sunny and it's bright and it's warm, there's something so inviting about it. And almost as if without expectation in the darkness of a night, that light begins to rise. That's what the gospel is. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's what the good news of the Bible is. His mercy endureth forever. It's his mercy. That's what the gospel is again. It's God showing us not just loving kindness, but it's the mercy of heaven. It's the mercy of an all-supreme being. It's the mercy of a God who is so great he could create the worlds. Yet in the face of our sin, as his accounting methods meticulous kept track of all of our sins, yet his mercy, the mercy of the God of heaven, the loving kindness of and grace of God are such that in the face of all of our sin, he sent his son to die on a cross. So that this is true tonight as we preach it. His mercy endures forever. His mercy. But take the next expression. His mercy endureth. Endureth. It endures. Think of the test of endurance. Isn't that what an athlete does? You know, it's one thing to go and wake up one day, a New Year's resolution maybe, and say you're going to run. Well, I had to lose some weight before I went for hernia surgery at the first of the year. I had to lose about, well, at one point 20 pounds, they said. I didn't lose it all. But one of the ways that I found I could lose it was by running. And so I maybe would go sometimes and spend 30 minutes running on the treadmill. You couldn't do that right from the start. But you begin to work your way up to it. And others could run so much further and so much faster. So I'm not lifting myself up as an athlete. But I understand this. It's not easy. There's resistance. And you increase the incline in the treadmill. Or if you're running outside, you run in sand. It increases the resistance. And you run up hills. And you run over slippery ground. Brother Darrell was reminding us at the villa of the shepherd in his search for the sheep. It wasn't easy. He endured. The test of the endurance of God's loving kindness and mercy. Do you think that the loving kindness of God has ever been tested in this world? In the world where he says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know if you've ever driven down in the U.S. Some of you from other parts of the world may have seen it where it's not covered, massive piles of garbage. I've seen pictures of such things. But in the U.S., near some of the major cities, you'll find this kind of a mountain that looks out of place, and it's all nicely covered with green, and you'll see little cement manholes with covers on it. And I remember back years ago watching some of those mountains grow. Before they learned to recycle garbage and all kinds of stuff, you'd be traveling in the U.S., and there would be bulldozers pushing clay over piles of garbage. And now you look at it, and those things have been topped off, and they're mounded green, and they're growing grass, and they look so green and so acceptable. And yet the manholes and the covers are there because it's literally a mountain that's built out of garbage. Do you ever think of the massive problem, not of garbage, but of our sins? It's a massive problem. Talk about accounting. No one knows the tons of garbage that are in some of those hills. But God knows every one of our sins. And he doesn't plant green grass on it. There are many churches, and that's what they try to do. They take the massive piles of garbage, and they try to plant greenery, and they try to cover it up with good works, and they try to throw in baptism and church membership, and they try and make the church beautiful, because the wickedness of the human heart is anything but beautiful. My friend, let's get down to reality. What does God see when he sees our world? Does he see beautiful churches and people doing good works, paying 100 cents in the dollar and sending money to provide people that are hungry and that have need? What God sees is our sin, uncovered, uncouth, raw. The stench of sin is constantly testing the endurance of his love, his mercy, that endureth forever. Yet the mercy of God keeps on enduring. He knows our sin, but do you recognize yours? That's what he wants for us. He wants us to acknowledge it. He wants us to bow to it. He wants us to accept that indeed we are sinners. We have a tremendous debt, the debt of our sin, a personal debt. And he wants us to know that even in the face of the test of his endurance, of his loving kindness, our sin tests it. Yet his loving kindness is of such a force that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God has found a way to overcome it so that not only the test of his endurance, of his loving kindness, but I want you to think about the triumph of the endurance of the mercy and love of God. Where was the triumph of the enduring love of God? You know where it was, don't you? It's the cross. Was there ever a time when human sin stooped to such a depth human beings did in their depravity and their sin when they attacked the very Son of God? And they spit in his face. When they placed a crown of thorns in his head, when they whipped his back, when they punched him, when they mocked him, and they did their worst to him. And all the while, God was allowing humanity to test his loving kindness at the very point in human history where his love would emerge triumphant with a method of saving sinners from their sins, because his mercy endures and triumphs forever. Do you ever wonder if God could forgive your sins? Do you ever wonder if the work of the cross was for you? That's what the gospel is telling us. That's what the repetition of this brings to our mind tonight. It was his excessive 40 times, for his mercy endureth forever. It is that which held back the wrath. It's that which continued to show the kindness and love of God on one condition and one condition alone, that his son was coming to suffer and die for sin. And on those grounds, God could hold back the wrath. But the day came. Imagine what it was like for God to watch Christ suffer what he did not deserve. And one might well say, he must step in now. He can no longer hold back. Surely his mercy cannot endure them crucifying the very Son of God. Surely he must step in judgment. He must wipe those sinners off the map. But instead, this is what took place. Luke chapter 23, verse 34 says that when they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And in that setting, it was there that he said, Father, forgive them. Those who were crucifying him. Those that were crying away with him. Those that were rejecting him. And one reason and one reason alone, his mercy endureth forever. You and I have never seen such love, such kindness, such mercy as what God has shown. And there never has been such a triumph where the loving kindness of God has endured and triumphed at the very place when the blackest emotions and sins that have ever committed in this world were committed. And yet, from the heart of God came words of forgiveness. Forgive them. Oh, I want to tell you, friend, tonight, your sin is great. The accounting of God knows everyone. Don't you think because you haven't been judged or punished for your sins that somehow your sins are not great? The only reason you and I are still here, and if you're not saved, I want you to get it clear. There's one reason and one reason alone that you are here tonight rather than in hell. It's this. His mercy endureth forever. That's the strength of his mercy, the triumph of that tremendous mercy. But oh, I want you to think about this word forever. Forever. It doesn't mean the effect of that you won't fall from the grasp of its opportunity. One day you will have your last opportunity and the mercy of God will run on, but will never again be shown to you. Never. Unless you trust the Savior, then it will never run out. Because there are two things we read of that are everlasting. And I know I am applying Isaiah 33. Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Just as his mercy is everlasting. Moses saw in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, there was a bush that was burned, not consumed. So with the righteousness of God, there is a righteous fire that will constantly and eternally burn and never be extinguished. Will never go away. And to ignore and turn your back on the mercy of God is to face the everlasting burnings. But the verse to my right says there is everlasting life. And to turn to the cross as a sinner, tell God, yes, I know I'm guilty, but please accept me. Your mercy endures forever, and Christ died for me. Please accept me, and the grounds of what he did would be to have everlasting life. And you will either experience the everlasting burdens, everlastingly lost, or you will experience everlasting life. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for you? Which will it be? Because regardless of which you choose, this will always be true. Whether you're in heaven or in hell, you will never be able to blame God. Because over 40 times in the Bible, He reminded us His mercy endureth forever. Any sin, any obstacle can be overcome because of the cross, where His love triumphed over your sin. His mercy endureth forever. Will you benefit from it? It's your choice. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge freely that we have embarked speaking about words that we so little understand. We don't understand how much our sin caused and strained and tested the endurance of God's loving kindness. And when it came to the cross, the very place where we showed our worst is the place where Thou didst show Thy very best. And so we would thank Thee for these words. We would pray that someone might come with all of their debt tonight and have it all wiped away by the grace of God and the love of God displayed, where sins were accounted for and He became answerable for our sins. We pray for Thy blessing and thank Thee that Thy mercy endures forever. Take us to our homes in safety, we pray. Save souls for Thy glory, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.